Okay, so we're on Daf Chaf Vav tonight, but Masih Chaf Vav 26a. I'll begin a few lines from the bottom on page 50, 25b, Chaf Hey Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, Manitin, Matzah Bagal, if a person found a Metzia, Matzah, you found like a in a collapsed wall, and it was the wall, it's an old collapsed wall, and you find something Metzia in the wall, Uvakotel Yashan, or again, think of like a stone wall is the way I'm imagining it. You find something in this old wall, Harelushlo, that belongs to the person, the finder. And the Gemara will explain why it's his. The Gemara is going to say that it probably belonged to the Amorim before the Jews came to Eretz Israel, but we'll see. And there's no, obviously, a chiyuv of hachbraza with a non-Jew. He says, Matzah b'kotel chadash, if you found something in a newer wall, he says, it'll feel like a hole going through the wall. So mechetzio b'lachutz shelo. If you found it on the outer half of the, in other words, for the outs, in other words, the outer half of the wall related to the outside, mechetzio b'lachutz shelo. Mechetzio l'fnim shabalabayit. In the inner half belongs to the balabas. He says, imhaya. And there was the idea being that if it's in the inner half, mistam of the balabayit put it there. If it's in the outer half, somebody from the Rishus Rabin put it there, and it's history. He says. If the landlord had leased the premises to other people and the people are not there anymore, then afilu, I think the Bach has matzah, afilu matzah b'toch habayit, then even if you find it b'toch habayit, it belongs to you. In other words, even though it's not your chefza and it belonged to one of the previous tenants, but you could keep it. And it means obviously that it was like a yeish that had taken place. We'll see in a minute. Let's see a little of Rashi on this. He says, so we said that if you found it in the wall, in the outer half of the wall, then the finder could keep it. In other words, it's a hole in the wall and it abuts the Rishus HaRabim, the public thoroughfare. So if a person finds it on the outer half, he can keep it. Then one of the people in Rishus Rabbim put it there, and he forgot about it. Even though he said before, I'm not sure, it looks like somebody had left it there intentionally. And here it's definitely somebody left it there. Gemara is going to say we're talking about the chefs has been there a long time. It's very well rusted, and the person has forgotten about it. Okay, let me just do a few lines of the Gemara, and then I'll pause on the top line on Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says the first halach we had in the Mishnah is matzah b'gal kotel yashan arelu shelo. It's like the finder's keeper. So I find a gal or a kotel yashan. So he says, Tana Meshecholamar, though, because the finder could say to the, in other words, somebody's wall collapsed, or somebody, or it's an old kotel, and I find something in it. So the finder could say to the owner of the collapsed wall, or to the owner of the kotel yashan, he says, Tana Meshecholamar, though, Shalomorim, that it probably belonged to the Amorim, and not a Jewish owner, like it's been here so long. It belonged to the Amorim, where the people before the Jews came into Eretz Israel. He says, "Atu Morim Matzah Yisrael Matzah." You mean only the Morim stash things away? Jews don't stash things away. So the Gemara says, "Lo Tzricha Shatet Fei." No. In addition to which, the Shatet Fei is very well rusted. Let's look a little bit at the top line of Rashi. Shatet Fei Elu Chalu Darabat Tuli Hai Lo Shavik Lahu. Person wouldn't like you know like the Jewish owner wouldn't leave it there so long. This thing's been there like a zillion years. So I saw Rabbi Leibowitz today. And he was saying it means that like you could attribute it that it was a non-Jew who had left it there. That's what the Gemara is basically saying. In other words, so it would be a Jew that had left there would be a different halacha. But it's been there so long, it's like you know in Israel belongs to the Moriyim. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, everybody good? Any questions? Comes to us. What we got? We go so.
The first part of the mission when I saw it, I didn't assume it was a house. The second part of the mission was a house. The wall. I thought the wall was like a wall around the city. You know, stone wall, like
no.
Someone killed and
didn't hear the question.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll repeat it 1 minute.
First part, suppose you had a wall like the wall around the old city of Trust. So, find something in the wall. That's
yes.
Just terrible.
Right. So that we're right. So that's even less problematic. Okay, David Jacob was asking. You were listening. Who asked me? Ruth asked me. Yeah, he was saying that he thought when he looked at the Mishnah, at least initially, he thought the Kotel meant like a wall around the city. And the way I explained it, it's like a Kotel part of the house is where it's coming out. So if it's like a public wall, then there's even less questions involved. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right, now the top line on the cup of an olive. Okay, but Kotel Kadash, Mechetzio B'lechut Shalom, Mechetzio B'nim Shabbala Bayit. Now, if it's a newer wall, so the outer half of the wall, the finder gets to keep it. We saw in Rashi that, you know, somebody from the Shasta Rabbi must have put it there and forgotten about it. And Mechetzio B'nim Shabbala Bayit, then the inner half of the wall, that belongs to the homeowner. So Amar Rashi, Sakina Batar Kata, Bekisa Batar Shnate. Rav Ashi says, when it comes to if a knife, the knife, I look where the handle is. So in other words, I don't go where it is in the wall. In other words, if the handle, you know what a knife looks like. So if the handle is facing towards the house, the homeowner put it in. If the handle is facing outside, the outside person put it. And then with the kisa, means like a purse is with the straps, you know, like a type of strap. So wherever the straps are, that's the person who put it in. So let's see back in the Gemara. I mean, that's Rav Ashi's halacha, and then we'll link it up with our Mishnah. So Amar Ashi, Sakina Batra Kata, the Kisa Batra Shnatse, Elamat Nith, the Kani Mechesi, the Chush Shalom, Mechesi Pinu Shabbala Bayit. So if that's the case, how come our Mishnah, again, Rav Ashi makes a statement, he's an Amara, but the Mishnah says we're going to do midway down. You have a long hall, so if it's the inner half of the wall that belongs to the Balabas, the outer half of the wall belongs to the finder, Balesi, Itat Lagab, Itat Labar. Why can't we just examine, is the knife handle facing inside or the knife handle facing outside? And then we won't go with halfway. We'll say, which way is the knife handle facing? You should not say the gav, you should not say the bar. Are the strings, the purse strings, are they facing inside or are they facing outside? So the Gemara says, but Nathan, but Udra Vanaska. So the Gemara says, inakinami. If it was a knife or it was a purse, then we would do the way we just said it. The Mishnah, though, was talking about Udra Vanaska. Udra Vanaska means they said in the arts were like a flock of wool, but it means like a bundle of wool, or Naska is like a silver bar. So there's no, you know, inner side, no outer side. Right. So Tana Totna Braisa, I mean a kotum amula mehen, if the whole the entire width of the wall was filled up with this, either with the wool or the Naska, Kolkin. So then they divide it between, you know, the fine and the outside and the inner person. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, that's isn't that obvious? That's obvious." And it was to say the inner half is here, the outer half is there. So it was a corollary that they would divide it. So the Gemara says, "Lo, it's pshita the mashpul b'chan kisa." So no, I need that halacha about cholkin where the wall is leaning. In other words, the Gemara is going to be the wall. In other words, the wall is leaning, let's say, a little bit towards one side. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ud tema ishtapuchi ishtapuch kamashvalan." So I might have thought that whatever is in the wall, like started off on one side and then slipped down, you know, towards the other side. You know what I mean? In other words, let's say it's leaning towards like this way and Rosh Hashanah is over here. So then I would have thought that the inner person has a taina that everything started off on my side of the wall and now it's just spread across the whole hall or whatever. So Kamash Malan, no, we're going to divide it. If it's across the whole hall, we're going to divide it between the two of them. All right, let's take a look. Let's see if there's any. So, no. Again, so, yeah. So, in other words, right. In other words, there's a presumption. I mean, we're mesupak on who put what where. So we're tola that the outer half is from Bnei Rishus Rabim, the inner half is from the Balabas. So here, if it's all across the entire hall, so that's the way the halacha comes out. In other words, you want to say what? You want to say?
But
in other words, like the person who buy it says it's probably, you know, somebody in the house put it there. Let me just see what he says here. Let me see what he says. One second. Yeah. 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 He only says in footnote six, he says, since there is no one currently holding it, I mean, there's nobody's buchsak, and there's no knowledge of who its original owner may have been, the property in question is divided between his two claimants. So that's what he wants to say. Nobody's buchsak on it. And so vis-a-vis one half, the inner side has a better claim. Vis-a-vis the outer half, well, the other side has a better claim, and so we're going to divide it.
Suppose it's like
Right.
one third of it is in one side and two thirds of it is on the other side. That's
Yeah. Yeah. So
it.
you find the 50% yard line in the wall in the hole, and then
I'm saying one third.
on one side, one side, the other side, the other side. That's what you go with it.
Divide. If it's one third on one side, two thirds on the other side, one guy gets two thirds of
Right. It's which
divide with
right. With the way the point in the wall would be. That's the way it seems to me. Okay.
Okay, you're
No,
dividing the
no,
whole
no.
thing, but it's not 50-50,
If
right?
it's
You're on
not,
the same side.
if it's more on one side than the other side, then let's say the inner side will
Four,
get more time.
that's one
Yeah.
third of your side,
Yeah.
two thirds of it. I
Yeah.
get two thirds of the other.
Yeah.
Well, because we don't know whose it is, so we're dividing up.
The
What?
same two thirds of your side.
Other words,
No, I'm saying the whole thing is more. And you're saying the whole thing is yours. And so they say divide it, two thirds of
divide
the
it.
other. Not 50-50, I got two thirds of my side. What do you say?
Well, I say that what I said. In other words, which is we're going to do the 50% the dividing line in the hole, and on one side is one person's, the other side is the other person's. That's the way we're going to do it. All right. Let's see back. Let's see what it seems like from the Gemara. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara now. Okay, we're 10 lines down. Any more questions from anybody? Are we good? Okay, so 10 lines down on Chaf Vav Min Aleph 26a. So the Miyama Skira Afilu tokabayit shalom. So we said if the landlord, if the owner of the premises had been leasing the premises to other people, then under those circumstances, and even tokabayit shalom, then he comes, he finds something to buy it, he keeps it, or it sounds like maybe even somebody else finds it, they get to keep it. In other words, nobody's muchzak on that property. So b'mayin leis the batar batra. The Gemara says, why should it be like open to everybody? Why don't we say that the last tenant is probably the last tenant's property? So he says, Milo Tanan, didn't we learn Mishnah Sech Shkalim? Maoshim Su Lefnei Sokri Behema Maaser. That if you remember with Maaser Sheni, so you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. You're the farmer, but if it's too heavy to or difficult to bring to Yerushalayim, so you're going to sell it, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and then Yerushalayim, you get to buy whatever you want with it. But the Gemara learns that people typically would buy a korban shlamim. They would buy an animal and bring it as a korban shlamim. That would be the most typical thing that a person would do with his master sheni money. So the Gemara is talking about if a person found money in Yerushalayim. So tanan, so money that I find before the animal merchants in Yerushalayim during all times of the year, I have to use master. It means the people with master sheni would usually keep it with them and then bring it up when they make aliyah leregel, but sometimes they wouldn't have enough time or opportunity to buy things, so they give it to poor people. They see here's Master Sheni, or they give it to friends. Here's Master Sheni, and then with Master Sheni, people typically would buy korbanot. So if you found money in Yerushalayim in front of a stall where people sell animals, the presumption is it's Master Sheni money, and you have to treat it accordingly. You got that? Okay. Now, then the Gemara says, Bahar Abayit Chulin. If you found the money in the Har Abayit, the Temple Mount, you assume it's Chulin. So there's no congregation of money for Master Sheni on Har Abayit. And so we're going to take you have the money from the Ole Regalim, you have money during the whole year. So the money from the whole year wins out over the money from the Regalim. He says, if we were Shalayim, Bishar Yimona Shana Chulin. Shut a regular kol ma'aser. In Yerushalayim, though, during the rest of the year, you found money on the street, you assume it's chulin. You shut a regular, you assume it's ma'aser. That's the end of the Mishnah. But Amar b'Shmaya bar Zeira, my time up. Why is there a difference between Har Habayit and Yerushalayim? Why in Yerushalayim, Shari Monashana, you assume it's not maaser, and during the regaling you assume it is maaser, but in harabayit you assume it's never maaser. Why is that? So the Gemara says, "Horil b'shukim Yerushalayim assume l'tabei b'chol yom," because the shukim in Yerushalayim would be swept up every day. So memela, so everything starts afresh every day. So if you found the money during the regalim, then you assume it's from the people who were there for the regal, and they more the money was maaser sheni money, and during the year it's the regular money. But on the har habayit, they wouldn't sweep it up every day. And Rashi says they wouldn't sweep it up every day because there's not a lot of dirt that collects there because it's a mountain. And also, nobody walks up there with his shoe or the avak shal raglav. So they didn't need to sweep it up every day. So Alma, back with Bar Alma and Rinan, Kamai, Kamai, Aslu, Bahani, Achminin. So the presumption is that the first coin, whatever money had been left there, let's say it's 2 weeks after Pesach. So whatever money was left for Pesach, that might have been Maaser Sheni, but that's already history. Now we got new money here. So Hakanami, so why don't we say with the wall and things that are in the wall, Hakanami Kama Kama Azal Bahami Dabatru, whatever the old tenant's not, but the most recent tenant most likely is his. Now, there's an interesting line that Rashi says. If you look three lines above where it gets wide in Rashi, Hakanami, Stam Soker Bayit, Shuyotse, Mechapes Kos Viotav, that when a person leases the premises and then he's vacating the premises, he checks the whole premises. Benotel Chalo, Viotse, and he takes whatever property is his. The Nema Ha'achronim Shechakuhu, and so Mamela, if we found something there, it's more likely the last tenant, She'ilu Ha'rishonim Shechakuhu, Bar Mitzao Ha'achronim. In other words, if one of the earlier tenants had had it, so the later tenant would have found it, maybe kept it. So most likely it's the last tenant. That's what Rashi wants to say. Okay, so again, the question is, you found something in a wall, and if the landlord, if the owner of the premises would lease the premises to other people, well, all bets are off. You can keep the hefza, because we assume, like, the person, you know, he left there, maybe gayish, whatever. But he says, well, why you assume that? Let's just give it to the last tenant. So let's see what the Gemara says. Amrei Shlakish, Mishum Bar Kapara, Nosha Asa Opundak L'Shlosha Yisrael. So he says the case is that the landlord, at least the last tenants in the premises, were three Jews. You know, it was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi in the same unit. In other words, he leased it to three Jews, not one. He left the three Jews. He says, so the Gemara wants to say that that now the owner will make Yeah. We'll see in a minute. He says, so the Gemara says, Shvami Nahalach Kroshim Lazar after the Barov Yisrael. So the Gemara says, from here, if that's the case, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, then we should be able to extrapolate the halacha that we mentioned from Rosh Shimon Elazar, where Rosh Shimon Elazar says, he said, this is on Shabbos, if you lost something where the multitudes are, a multitude of people, so you'll make yeish on it. So, and we were mesupak, is that only when mostly non-Jews or even Jews? So if the pshat in our Mishnah is that the person can keep the chepza if it was a leased premises, because there were maybe three Jews left there previously, so then the lechora we can paskin that halachas like Shimon Lazar or even Barov Yisrael. Now it's not a multitude here; it's three Jews. So the pshat I saw, I think in the Sifti Gemara, they want to say like this, that that the reason with the multitude is that there's a concern that you know, that there's a dishonest person that'll keep it or whatever. So I make yeish. In other words, I left it in Grand Central Station, or I left it in Dizengoff, you know, Rehov Dizengoff in Tel Aviv, and there's a zillion people there, so I don't have any, you know, confidence that I'll get it back, because there are, like, dishonest people out there, and they'll keep it. So Mela, I make Yeish. So here, with these three people, like, the landlord says, you know, I don't know, and there was, I shouldn't say landlord, it's a pundak. Pundak is an inn, like an inn. So the person is—he's leasing. I didn't say right with landlord. He's like running like a hotel, like we're a hostel, you know, right? So the owner of the premises is, I don't know who the people were. I don't know one more person from another. But that we think is the legal equivalent of what we said before. Now let me just see a few more lines, a little pause, okay? So the Gemara says, so but if that would be the case, then we have a raya to be machria one way or another. So Elam Ram Nashi Bar Yaakov, so Rashi says, no, don't you ask so Pundak Lashlosha of De Kukavim. We say the Pshat is that he had it with three goyim who were there. And the Mela, now it doesn't have to be three goyim, it could even be one goy. But even if it's one goy, so there's no mitzvah of Hashavar Veda by the goy, and the Mela, then the person could keep it. Okay, let's go over and see what we, let's review for a minute what we did. So we had a halacha in the Mishnah that, you know, that there's a presumption that the inner half belongs to the owner of the premises and the outer half is up for keeps from the person who finds it because it's probably from somebody from Rishis Rabban left it there and it's a long time and he made Yeush. But in the last line of the Mishnah said, if somebody was leasing the premises to other people, even if you found it in the house, you can keep it, the finder can keep it. So the Gemara said, why don't we go to the last tenant who was there and say it's his? So the Gemara initially thought that the Mishnah is talking about where he had been leased to three Jews at the same time, and the guy he gave up hope. But then the Gemara said, no, that even he leased it to three goyim or one non-Jew, and this, it's not probative the issue about Rav Shimon Lazar. Okay, now any okay, go ahead. Pesach Tav has got a question here. Let me bring it over. Right, because in other words,
it's not hectic. What?
Why should we have that?
I mean, what goes on? What's going on?
Well, why?
Right.
Okay, he's just still can't hear you. All right. Yeah, David. Okay. One second. David was saying Harabayit. Why do I assume it's chulin money on Harabayit? I should assume it's hekdesh. So first, again, on Harabayit, you don't have to be tahor. Remember, the Tmei Maid is loud on Harabayit. It's just you can't be Balkari on Harabayit. That's in terms of so that. Now, but you don't have to. Why is it? Why assume it's hekdesh money? No, in other words, maybe you have your animal already brought it, or maybe you're bringing the money to buy a korban. But well, why should the money be in hektesh or anything like that? Okay. Anyway, all right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, "Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Boravua, a people came to Shloshi Israel." So Rav Nachman says, you can even say the Pshat Mishnah is that the owner of the premises had leased it out to three Jews, and nevertheless, it will not be probative of the issue that was brought up by Rav Shimon Lazar. He says, I feel so to my time, why is it that the person makes the issue here? In other words, he's going to come out that, in other words, Rav Shimon Lazar says that a person makes Yeish when it falls in the mass of the public, because you know, he's never going to get back. You know, I mean, let's say it would be Jewish. That would be his concern. But here he wants to say that, like, even within the Chachamim, there was I don't know what Rosh Hashanah Lazar holds, but even this mission can even go like the Chachamim who might reject Rosh Hashanah Lazar about if you lost it with multitude of Jews. And nevertheless, in this case, the person with three Jews would be Miyash because it's going to come out worse when there are a small number than a big number, in the way that we're going to explain in a minute. He says, "My time, who did not follow me named Yaish, the one who lost the." In other words, you have Reuben and Shimon and Levi; they were leasing the premises. And let's say Reuben lost whatever the object is. Nobody else was with me except for Shimon and Levi. So Amri Kamayu Kamazimni Lahadruli Velo Hadruli. I mentioned to them several times, and they never returned anything to me. Bahasha lahadru. Now, do I think I'm going to get it back? No. So ida taila dura adru naheli. If they intended to give it back to me, they would have given it back to me. Baidlo ahadruli adruali, but that taila migzla because they want to steal it. So there's like in a way worse when it's a smaller number of people than a bigger number of people. So that's another way to explain a mission. It could be three Jews, but the person would make Yeish, but it's not necessarily probative of losing it where there's a big mass of people. In other words, here, there's a limited pool of people, and since he doesn't get it back right away, he's thinking one of them must have robbed you or whatever, and so he makes yeish on it with a big mass, you know, not necessarily that way. So let's look at Rashi. Six lines from the bottom. I feel the table of Shlosh Yisrael below Tifshot Alach Yishun Lazar that he plead Rabban Alei Hecha Denafel Makom Sharabim Tsuyim Lo Yadulu Lekulu. He doesn't know everybody. The Sabar HaOved Umeimar Amar. In other words, the one who lost the object says Who Da Ashkach Lo Yadam Yishnafla. In other words, within the Chachamim who are Mechulakan or maybe Mechulakan Rishun Lazar, but Jews. So the person who lost it says. The one who found it doesn't know me. He says, well, shagia regal yachri is allowed. And then when the regal comes, in other words, when they would make the ole regalim, there would be Eben HaTowim, there would be a place in Yerushalayim where people had found things, where they would get up and announce that they had found things. So then he'll be makriz it. Betain siman, and then I'll give a siman. Betol, I'll be able to take it. So there, within the sheets of the Chachamim, assuming the Rishon Lazar holds with the Jews that the person makes yeish, but the Chamim could be mechulak with him. About Hachad Yadulu Lekulu, now, in this case, he knows everybody. In other words, the Olam that could have, you know, taken it is a smaller Olam, that's what he thinks. With Tavanu Lo Odu, then I claimed it from him, and they didn't admit it, that they had it. So he makes Yayush. Okay? All right? Everybody good? All right, let's see further the Gemara. So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom on Chafav and Aleph. Okay, Ba'azda Rav Nachman Latame. Now, this last shot was from Rav Nachman named Rabba Barahua. So Rav Nachman is following his shita. The Amar Rav Nachman, Ra'as Sela, turn page, top line on Chafav and Beis. Ra'as Sela Shanafal Mishnayim. If a person sees, I see different cases. I see Reuben and Shimon walking, and I'm observing him, and I'm Levi, and I see one of them drop a coin. And a coin is something that doesn't have a siman on it. He says, "Chayav lahachzir, I'm chuyev to be machzir it. My taima, who did not fall minay lo miyayish? Because in that instance, the one who lost it is not going to make yayish. Meimar amar michti inishak minay lo haba bahadoi. Nobody else was with me except for Shimon. We were just walking by ourselves. Elahai nakit alei. So I, Reuven, will grab a hold of Shimon." Onto the shakalte, and I'm going to say you're the one who stole it. Let's see Rashi. In other words, he means that he could take Reuben, could take Shimon to Bezdin and make a tain against him, and impose a shvud hesed. In other words, I make a tain. You're called for a call. You have to take a shvud. Lo nityayish miyad shemeshamesh lo matzah. So he, in other words, normally the Gemara we learned that Adam asu the mashreish bekiso tamin. Person always feels in his wallet. But in this case, even if he feels in his wallet that the coin is gone, he won't make Yeish right away because he says, I know who it is. So then it comes out that if Levi picks up the coin, so that coin, the owner didn't make Yeish on it. And Lach is like, Abai Yeish, Lo Midad, Lo Abi Yeish. So he says, that's what Rav Nachman says, Selin Shnafal Mishnayim Chayav Lahachzir, I have to give the coin back. All right, everybody good so far? All right, let's see you further. So now the Gemara says on line 5, the Shlosha Eino Chayav Lahachzir. But let's say, you know, Zevulun is looking at Reuben, Shimon, and Levi who are walking, and one of them drops a coin. So now he's not mechuyev to give the coin back. My taima, who did not fall minei vaday miyayish. Now the one who lost it is definitely going to make yayish. Neymar Amar, he's going to say to himself, Mifti Trei Havu Ba'adoi. They were two people with me. In other words, Reuben's going to say, Shimon and Levi with me. If I grab Shimon and say, you stole it, Amar lo shakalti. He says, I'm not the one who stole it. And if I grab Levi, he says, Amar lo shakalti. I'm going to say, I didn't steal it either. So he's going to make Yeish with this. So Amar Rava. Now Rashi points out, I can't force a shua, but it's a tain of Shema. Now, all right. Okay. And then obviously, so once he senses that the money is missing, he'll make Yeish. And a person senses his coins constantly. So in that case, he'll make Yeish. So Rav Nachman, who holds these halachot, that he's going to hold in the earlier case, that if there are three tenants, he's going to make Yeish in that case. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, now we're line 8. I'm a Rabba. Oh, you know, I think there was something I should have done with you before. Oh, maybe I'll do the Tosafot later on, okay? So I'm a Rabba. When we said with three people, you don't have to give the money back. In other words, the coin that fell, if I divide it three ways, would come out less than a shabaprutah to each of the three people. If the coin was of a denomination that it would equal at least a prutah for each one of them, then the observer has to be machzir it. My taima emor shutvei ninhu v'lo miyashu, because it's possible that all three of them are partners and they own the coin jointly, and then, in which case they wouldn't make yeish. Let's see Rashi on this. On the sixth narrow line, Rashi emor shutvei ninhu v'selazu b'ne'amanim zelzeh, they trust one another. Vein ha'echad choshed chaveru b'chelto, nobody suspects the other one of stealing his chelek. So when he feels in his pocket or in his purse and doesn't find the coin, lo iyai, she doesn't make yeish, the one who dropped it. Meimar amar, he figures one of my partners found it. And he wants to, like, you know, give me sort of like adjuta, and that's why he's not saying anything. So the person, the observer, let's say Zvulun, who grabs the coin, so there's no yeish when he grabs the coin. And we said Allah is like a baye. So even if eventually you make yeish, it doesn't make a difference. You can't keep it. Even though a sella is something that does not have a siman, but if the coin is worth less than three prutot, either way you play it out, you'll be able to keep it. He should finhain bo, if they're all partners, in other words, if they're all partners, there's no hashavat aveda because the pro rata share for each one is less than a shabapruta. The im shel achad mehem hu, o shel hashnayim, it belongs to one of them, or even it belongs to two of them, no ashu, the one or the two will make yeish, ba'amru, chavirenu zeg ganavu, v'reim mishamei. In other words, if it's one person's law owner, so then he doesn't know if it's Shimon or Levi. But even if two people own it, so Levi, they accuse Levi, who's the non-partner, of stealing it, but Levi could say, no, maybe Shimon took it. You know what I mean? He could pose it within the you know, point the finger at one of the partners. So I don't know if Levi took it or Shimon took it, even though he is one of the partners. So anyways, that's the point. Let me just do a few more lines of the word, and then we'll pause. The first line of the line is Ika Damri. Everybody with me? Ika Damri, I'm a Rabba. Others say what Rabba said was as follows. So in this version, Rabba says, even though the coin is worth two prutot, Chayav lahaksir, that he is Chayav. That's what we rejected a line ago. The Gemara says, no, you're Mechiv lahaksir. My taima, emor shutvei ninhu, maybe that they're partners. In other words, maybe they were, means there are three people, and the coin is worth two prutot. So two prutot is not a prutot for each one. So he shouldn't be mekuyev to machzir. But I should say, maybe they're partners. They're all partners. One of them was Mochel, his share, Legabe to the friend. Let's see Rashi. Emer Shutfei Ninu, Umehem Ni Ahadade. So they each trust in one another. Vein Choshen Zedzeh, Vinim Seh Shabbat Liadzeh, Lefnei Yeish. So but one would have been Mochel, his share, to the other one. All right, so the point is there wouldn't be Yeish in that case. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Are we good? All right, we'll move on. Okay, now, Ba'amar Rava. Now, the Gemara is going to have a number of scenarios with this. Rabbi says, if I see somebody drop the sella, not l'lifnei yeyush, amanat l'gozla. So I grab it before the owner makes yeyush. So what would be the before the owner makes yeyush? So let's look at Rashi. Not l'lifnei yeyush. Shoshaha k'dei l'mashmei sebekiso. Rashi's pshat is, I grab it. In other words, I'm a nasty guy. In other words, the person grabs a nasty guy. He wants to keep the money. And he grabs it before, let's say, Reuven dropped the coin. So he said, Rabbi says, Tamid. So with Tamid, the way Rashi is learning doesn't mean every second. You know, maybe it's every 5 seconds, I feel like. Right. So he grabs it like 1 second after he drops the coin. And so he when he grabs it, there was no yair. So that's one way. Or the other shot, we saw some quote in the name of Ravino Peretz, is that the coin was wrapped in like you know something with a semen on it. So it's not a Dvar She'ein Bo Semen, Dvar She'esh Bo Semen. So that's the whole bowl of different wax. In other words, so he's not a yair because it's got my name on it or whatever, something like that. So the person grabs it. Now he says, so he grabs it, and his intent is to steal the money. Over Bakulan. He's going to transgress every law that's conceivable. What is he over? Mishum lo tigzol. He's over for not stealing. Umishum hashev tishivim, which is if I have somebody's lost object, I should return it. Umishum lo tuchal hitalein. You shouldn't have a blind eye to somebody's chefza. Then va'afogav the chazra la'achar yeyosh, even if he, let's say Reuben is one who lost the coin, and in this example Shimon will be the finder. And even though Shimon returns it after yeyosh, matanuhu diyayivlei b'sura da'abad abad. So after yeyosh, he still we'll see in a minute. More I want to say he's still over on we'll say on the isur, and he just gave him back a gift. He just gave him back a gift because he made yeyosh on it. Well, the one made yeyosh on it. We'll see in a minute. So 1 minute. Let's look at Tosfos. All right. The 1, 2, 3. The third Tosfos. Okay. Matana ba'alma hu diayiblei. Everybody have it. Bim tomar velo lav lo tigzol mikri nitak le'esei per shiluach hakein. Now, lo tigzol is like the paradigm of lava nitak le'esei. Don't steal, but if you do steal, then return it. So here he's stealing it and he's returning it. So shouldn't that purge him of lav lo tigzol? He says, "Im kain kamelin gzela lo mikri matana gama shev tishvim lama lo tikein." So Mamela, in other words, leaning gzela, he's been kind of the mitzvah of heishibasa gzela. He's returning back the lost object, the stolen object. So Mela, isn't it? So it's curative of Lo Tigzol, and isn't it also curative of Hashem Tishivim? In other words, he wants to say that the Goslin never acquired title to the Chefza, it came to him, you know, before the person made Yeish. So he's returning the stolen object to the victim, and if he's returning the stolen object to the victim, he's also doing Hashem Tishivim. So V'yesh Lomar, Lo Kai El Alav, Lo Tuchal Hitalem, Shavar Shlo Xir Kodem Yeish. So Tosfos says at the end of the day, the way Tosfos takes it, so there are three potential lavim he's got, and one is or two lavim, and one's an essay of Hashem Tishibayim. But according to Tosfos, the only thing that he's, if he returns it at the end of the day, he was over on the lav of Lo Tuchal Hitalein. That in other words, you can't hide your eyes, and he took it, you know, intent not to give it back to the, not to give it back to the owner. Say again, repeat.
Right. Is that all
transgressions
that he committed?
Say it,
or is it because it's singular?
Well,
then it's
much more
that he's only over.
Well, Isura could certainly be singular.
Isura could certainly.
I don't know what to say.
What's that? Because it was more than one.
In other words, you know, Pistab is asking, is Isura singular or plural? That's his question. So I think Isura certainly can be understood as singular. Whether it can be plural also, I'm not sure. But I think opening up a Jasher dictionary will yield, opening up the Jasher dictionary will yield the answer to that question. So just get a Jasher and we'll figure. Okay, now all right. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, I think there are other Girsaos that somebody trying to have with the last line. Okay, now not l'lifnei yeish, I'm not lach zira. So now this is a different case. Now he took it before the person made yeish. But he thought he would give it back to the original owner. But after the person made yesh, he figures, I'm going to keep it. So over mishum hashev tishivim. So he's only over hashev tishivim. In other words, because at the time that he took it, his intent was to return it to the true owner, and his intent to steal was only afterwards. Hashev Tishivim. The Rashi ends the Rashi on this. Let's take a look. Over Mishum Hashev Tishivim, Lo Tigzol Oshayach El B'Shat Natila. So Lo Tigzol, I have to be over at the time that I take it. Now he took it, but when he took it, his intent was to give it back to the original owner. He says, Kamo Vayigzol Rachanit Miyadam Etzrim, Yamar Bava Kama. Lo Tuchal Hitalem, Eina Azhara El Kovashet Eina, but Im Nami Lahatzil. Lotuchal etalem is only if, like, I like hide my eyes and I don't want to get involved. Hilcha chanof lamanat lahachzir, so when I pick it up, I intend to return it. Lachar yesh nekem lagozla, inkam etalem. So there's no gzela per se, and there was a formality of gzela I didn't do at the time I took it. It was okay because I've been thinking we're going to give it back, and it's not metalem because I also picked it up to give it back. But I'm over on Hashem Tishivim until I give it back. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, back in the, he says, Himtin la achin yashu ba'alim v'atla. Let's say this is the third case. He waits till the ba'alim make yeish, and then he takes it. I guess he's a little bit of a tomahawk, so to speak. In other words, he sticks around and waits till the owner made yeish. And then he picks it up. He says, "Eino over al mishum lo tuchal hitalem babat." He's only over al lo tuchal hitalem because he's ignoring, you know, the things get involved with the whole thing. Okay, now, all right, okay, now, I'm a rabba. Okay, I'm a rabba. Haiman de chazi denafo zuzim yichabre bechalta. If a person sees somebody, he dropped a coin in the sand. And he, the viewer, let's say Shimon, finds it, b'shaklei and takes it. Lo mechayim ladure lei. He does not mechayim to give the coin back to him. My taima who did not fall minei miyish. A person who drops anything in the sand is going to make geish miyishu. Avagav the kazye the itr beil bekamar beil. Even if he observes, let's say Reuben is one who dropped the coin. Even if Shimon sees Reuben afterwards taking like a sieve to sift through the sand and try to retrieve it. Neymar Amar, in other words, he thinks just like I lost a coin, maybe other people lost coins. So that's what he said. But his own coin, he made yesh for it. Okay? Now, there was one post I wanted to do before I got to do it with you on Amar Aleph with that on back on Chafav Ben Aleph, the top toast was the Shatech, just two lines there, where a person found something that was very rusty in the wall. So the finder gets to keep it, notwithstanding the fact that there's an owner of the premises. So the shot is, so Tosfos says, "Tomer looking like chatzero lebalagal or lebalakotel." So why is that not a kinyan chatzer? In other words, I own the premises, my chatzer, it could be kona for me. In other words, this is like a person found something valuable in a collapsed wall or in an old wall. So the finder gets to keep it because we said it's from the Amorim. But the Gemara says, but isn't there a king in the chatzer, the owner of the premises? You know, that's his chatzer, and so you should require whatever's there. So Tosfos says, V'yesh lomar in chatzer kona dvar she'chol yod sholim se'enu li'olam. But a chatzer is not kona something that I may never find. K'mo hacha shumutzna ba'obi ha'kotel. That something's hidden in the thickness of the wall. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right.
Obviously,
In other words, by definition, in other words, something was hidden in the wall. That's why he.
What was the answer?
In other words, Kinyan Chatzer can work Shlomi Daito even without my knowledge. But if it's something that I may never find in my life, the Kinyan Chatzer doesn't work for it. Okay, so that's the. Yeah,
but
so,
I didn't understand that mission.
It was stashed. It was placed in the wall, but it was placed like you may never find it. It was like, what?
Those things are perfect. Yeah.
No. Again. Let's go back. We were saying that this had been there a zillion years, and whatever put it in was like something that was shatich.
So
the shatich fate. It was rusted. It very much rusted. So, but the Gemara says that it belongs to the original Amoraim, so the person, the finder, can keep it. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's an owner of the premises, and it's his chatzer. Why is his chatzer not kona for him? So, right. Okay. No, it's something you may never find. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we got to wrap it up. We're running out of time. Okay, now, the Mishnah on Chavam Beis. Okay, let's look at the Mishnah on Chavam Beis. Okay, Manitin. If a person enters a store, he finds money there, it's like the finder gets to keep it because the rabbin walk in there, everybody sees ish. But if the money is found between the tables, like the counter and the merchant, and the cashier's, you know, the place, to the cashier's counter, the word or whatever, and the chenbani, that belongs to the chenbani because it probably fell from the chenbani. Case two, that's case one. Case two. Lifnei Shulchani, if I found a coin before the money changer, Shulchani is the money changer, Harei Elu Shlo, that belongs to the finder. He says, Bein HaKiseh L'Shulchani, it really means, the way that Rav Kahati was saying, means between the table and the Shulchani. The Kiseh, he would use his chair to support like the, whatever, the table or the surface, but it means Bein HaKiseh L'Shulchani. It says, Harei Elu Shulchani. Okay. HaLokech Perot Mechaveiro, and again, Perot doesn't have to be fruit, it can be produce. Or his friend sent him payrot. He finds money in it in the payrot. It was like I purchased a pound of wheat, and in the wheat I found some coins. That's the, again, it belongs to the finder. And you threw her in no till machis. But if they were tied up, then I have to do hakraza with them. So the Gemara says, Amar Blazar, Afin Munachan al Gabi Shulchan. So in the second case with the Shulchanim, we said if you found it lifnei Shulchanim, then no. We said in the Mishnah, we said lifnei Shulchanim hari el shalo. If it's before the Shulchanim, it belongs to the customer. So Amr Blazar, afilu munachin al gabi Shulchan. Blazar says even if it's on the table, it belongs to the finder, and there was a customer. Okay, that's what he's saying. So he says, so now the Gemara asks a question from our Mishnah. Tanan, in our Mishnah, we learned Lifnei Shulchani Ariel Shalo. Now, Lifnei, the Gemara understands Lifnei is on the floor. In other words, so the Mishnah says, assuming Lifnei means on the floor, in the way it's Rashi says it, he says, in the second line above where he gets right, Lifnei Mashmal Gabi Karka. So he says, Tanan, Lifnei Shulchani Ariel Shalo. So it sounds like if I found it on the ground, then I get to keep it. Al Gabi Shulchan, the Shulchani. That sounds not like where Blazer is saying, but it's on the table of Shulchani. So Ema Seifa, let's do the Seifa of the Mishnah, the next line. Ben a Kiseh of Shulchani, Shal Shulchani. If I found it between, the Kiseh really means like the table and the Shulchani, the money changer belongs to the Shulchani. Al Gabi Shulchan, Shalom. That leads me to think that if it's on the table, it belongs to the customer. In other words, it's either belongs to the customer or belongs to the Shulchani. So the last one says, if you find it between the table and the Shulchani, belongs to the Shulchani. It sounds like if it's on the table, belongs to the customer. He says, so we can't make a firm deduction from the Mishnah. It goes both ways. So for Reb Lazar, Hamanali. So where does Reb Lazar get his halacha from? I'm a Rava, Manithin Shite. So Rava says, the Mishnah gave him difficulty. My area, the Tani Ben Akise, the Shulchani, Shal Shulchani. Why does the Mishnah say between the kiseh, between the table and shulchan belongs to shulchani, litni al gabi shulchan? He should teach me that al gabi shulchan belongs to him. That's similar to what we said before. Litni al gabi shulchan, which says that which is on the shulchan belongs to the shulchani. If he says inami matzav shulchanot, Kidatani Resha, Matzabachanot Shalo. Or in addition, so that gives rise to the thought that it belongs to the customer. That line gives rise to the thought it belongs to the customer. Inami, or else the Mishnah could have said, Matzabashulchanot. You found something in the money changer's store, Kidatani Resha, Matzabachanot Shalo. El Shmamina, from the fact that the Mishnah didn't praise it, in other words, Mishnah didn't say if you found something in the money changer's store, it belongs to the customer. He doesn't say that. So that leads me to think that it belongs, that even on the table belongs to the customer. In other words, in the store would be on the floor. But in other words, he's mishana the language from the first case in the Mishnah. First case in the Mishnah, if you find something on the floor in the store, it belongs to the customer. So he could have said the same thing by the Shulchani, but he didn't. That leads me to think that it belongs to, that even on the table belongs to the customer. And similarly with the other line, that he says my yiri tani bin akisa Shulchani shul Shulchani. He says he should teach me the Shulchan. So anyway, so that's what led him. He's saying both of those diyukim lead him to the same conclusion. That's what he's saying. They both lead to the conclusion that the customer gets to keep it. It's a double-edged sword. Okay, now, two lines from the bottom. We said if you purchase produce from your friend and you find money in it, you get to keep it. So Amar Reish Lakish Rav Yonai, Loshanu Ella, so Reish Lakish said it's only if you purchase from like a merchant. In other words, he was like somebody in business. Because the merchant, Rashi says, the merchant himself, buys from a number of suppliers. He says, so I don't know who the money belongs to. But if I bought from my friend, some tibu and there's money there, I have to give the money back to him. And similarly, the Tana taught the following braisa before Rav Nachman. It's only if you bought it from a merchant. If you bought it from the balabas, then you do have to give the money. So Amali Rav Nachman, v'chi balabai ba'asmo dashan. So Rav Nachman said to the Tana, if it's a balabas, did he himself, dashes to the right? Did he himself thresh the wheat? In other words, he hired other workers to thresh the wheat. So a lot of people are involved with the item. So even if balabas is not necessarily his money, so Amalei Ismiyei, so should I delete this brisa from my collection of brises? The Tana said, Amalei lo. So Rav Nachman said, no, don't delete it. Targi manito, you should explain the brisa that you just said. In other words, if the balabas uses his Eved Kanani to thresh it, then anything the Eved Kanani owns belongs to him. Then you have to return it. But those are the issues that we said. Okay, let me just see if there's anything to say, and then we'll wrap it up in a minute. I'll do it quickly. A certain Israeli drink company once made a special contest to promote sales. On the underside of each bottle cap was sometimes inscribed that the purchaser had won an expensive prize. So you open the bottle, and then on the inside of the cap, you may win some big prize. A certain person attended a friend's simcha at a local hall and found a winning cap while taking a drink from a nearly empty bottle. But he wondered if he was entitled to the prize or should go to the bottle of simcha who would pay for the entire fare and all the food. For that matter, it was possible that the owner of the hall should receive the prize since the bottle started with him and he was in charge of the cleaning up and could theoretically have one of his staff check each bottle before it was thrown away. So who's the rightful owner of this prize? So a rab consulted with Chaim Kanievsky Zitzal on behalf of the finder of the winning bottle cap regarding this matter. He answered, it seems clear that even if the simcha was in the Bala Simcha's own home, the prize would still belong to the man who attended the affair and found the cap while drinking. Although the guest could not take the bottle home for his own enjoyment, yet the drinks were served for the pleasure of the guests and attendants. This is similar to Tosfos and Bava Metzia Chafav, where we find that even if one's courtyard does not acquire on behalf of the owner, it could have remained hidden forever there. In other words, like we said in that Tosfos, like it's not yours if you might never know about it. So the fact that so he says similarly in our case, although people know that there is a sweepstakes type contest, they usually do not check bottle caps. Indeed, most religious people never give such incentives a moment's thought. Okay. Right. No, no. If it goes into her cot there, then she's divorced. No, if it's a place that I think that she would never look or never find it, maybe she's not divorced. I don't know. Okay, let me just end this recording.